Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This is very exciting. We are going to find a way to solve the biggest problem on the planet that has existed in 2015 and before, getting cats to the veterinarian, and how all of you with a cat can help all other cats. Veterinary behaviors, Dr. Teresa DePorter will be here to explain. You know, more than anything else, more than kidney disease or heart disease, the number one cause of death for our pets. What do you think it is? Well, it's bad behavior, or at least perceived bad behavior. I say it that way. And by the way, why is it bad behavior? Because then the animal lands at a shelter. But I go back to perceived bad behavior because we sometimes think, okay, the animal has acted bad on purpose somehow. No, they're just dealing with whatever it is. At least I think I'm on the right track.
Dr. Tracy Jensen is the president of the American Animal Hospital Association. It has been said, and there's data to support, that the number one cause of death for dogs, for cats, is not heart disease or kidney disease. It is perceived bad behavior. It's the way I put it, because the cats and dogs aren't being bad on purpose. They're just coping any way they can cope, or dealing with anxiety any way they can. For us, it's perceived as bad behavior. The result is those animals land in a shelter, and the result of that may be the end of the animal's life, and it happens very, very frequently. Also, when it comes to behavior, there's tons and tons of information out there. The problem is so much of it is misinformation.
I agree with you. Once again, I'm very proud that AHA is taking a leadership role in getting guidelines out for pet owners and for veterinarians, because you're right, this is the next great frontier. It's something we know very, very little about. And to your point, a lot of the information out there can be dangerous because it is misinformation. Behavior highlights the point that pets are individuals, and it's not one shoe fits all. Behavior is something that has to be customized to the individual and their family and their environment. I agree, a lot of pets' perceived bad behavior is because they weren't given the tools or the skills as youngsters to be able to cope in this human-driven world.
Is the pet ever doing it on purpose or to get back at their owners?
No, and it does drive me a little crazy to hear somebody say that they did that out of spite. They peed on my bed because they're mad at me. Really?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way at all.
I think we're giving pets credit for an emotion that they just don't even have. I believe anytime you see a dog wagging his tail when he sees you, they know joy and they know happiness. And they do know stress and grief. I believe that when you see a dog whose other dog member left the family and has died, they respond to the grief that those owners are having.
Oftentimes,
so they understand those emotions. But to be spiteful, I do not believe that exists.
Maybe they're better off for it not existing? Maybe that's a good emotion not to have?
Maybe we should be more like them?
Exactly,
yes.
Right. I very much agree with you. So because there's so much misinformation out there when it comes to behavior, and behavior is one of those areas where, as a veterinarian, if you suggest a behavior protocol, or you're at a cocktail party maybe, and someone hears that you're a veterinarian, they will tell you about the behavior of their dog or cat, or that's right. They won't question if they say, or if you say, this is the medication I want you, your dog has heart disease, this is what you should do. When it comes to behavior, though, sometimes a different story.
It's because behavior is complex and requires dedication and devotion and time. There's not a quick fix in some cases. But the challenge will be to get those cases before they get to that point, that we're not making up a lot of time, that we can actually impact them before there's a significant problem, before they end up in the shelter.
One of the big changes that's happened over a course of years, I mentioned aversive dog training earlier. We now know today, and I do mean know, through studies that have been done looking at dogs and cats, that positive reinforcement works best. And I know the behavior guidelines indicate just that.
Absolutely. I live with 7 Labradors.
7?
7. And they want to please. And positive reinforcement of the behaviors that I want to see takes me light years from trying to punish something, especially living with Labradors. They've taught me the value of positive reinforcement. And that translates to people, too. People want to be where there's a positive feel. So do animals.
Of course.
So you're absolutely right. Aversive dog training is something of the past.
I hope. It sadly isn't yet. But hopefully we are moving in that direction. Dr. Jensen, president of the American Animal Hospital Association, thank you. And you can get these behavior guidelines at aha.org.
Thank you.
My good friend, Dr. Teresa DePorter, a veterinary behaviorist, is on the phone. And we are going to talk about getting your cat to the veterinarian. So here's the thing, Dr. DePorter. You hear from people all the time and they say, well, my cat's kind of worried about going to the veterinarian, or my cat is just terrified about going to the veterinarian. Except for the change in my voice inflection, we don't know what just worried or terrified means, do we?
No, we don't. Cats can show that they're afraid in a number of ways. Some are really obvious. Some cats just settle in the back of the carrier and don't move and are frozen. And that's our goal, is to try to identify how cats really feel and help people understand their cat's emotions.
And by and large, cats don't feel good about getting into that carrier. But the way in which the cat, as you said, sort of illustrates his or her fear can be different, first of all, from cat to cat. And the way in which we interpret is very different from pet owner to pet owner.
Yes, the things that we think the cats are feeling are not always right. The cats often don't enjoy getting their carrier and go for a ride, and certainly don't necessarily enjoy going to the veterinary clinic, even though it's very important for them to get good veterinary care.
So you and I are conducting a survey together. We're working on this, and perhaps you can explain to folks exactly why we are doing what we're doing and how people can help not only ultimately their cat, but really all cats, just by providing information to us.
Yes, Steve. This is a chance for pet owners to help us understand their impression of their cat's level of anxiety. In order to do research that helps us alleviate cat distress before going to the vet, I need to be able to quantify it and understand it. And at that point in time, the best observer is the owner. The owner can identify how the cat feels from the moment they make that phone call and decide they're going to take them to the vet, when that carrier comes out and sits on the floor. For many cats, that's when this anxiety sequence begins. And so this survey is designed to help look at that owner perception, the person that knows this cat the best, their perception of the cat's anxiety at that point, and fill out a form for me so I can convert that level of emotion and response into numbers that we can use down the road so we can help these cats.
And it's an easy-to-fill-out survey. It's free to fill out. And as I say, you'll be helping not only your cat, but veterinarians to better understand all cats, because believe it or not, this has never been done before by anyone, and it will help you and others to describe what anxiety looks like in most cats. For example, and this is fascinating to me, that owners report that when they make the appointment to the veterinarian, as if the cat knows who the person is calling, that the cat begins to stress out, even if that is weeks or months before the veterinary visit. So I don't know quite how to interpret that myself, but let's better understand that.
I agree. It's intriguing, the number of cats that seem to know when we've marked something on our calendar. I think there are probably changes in our body postures and how we look at the cat and then run to the phone and call the vet because we thought of it at that moment. I'm sure there are cues that we're giving off, and cats are brilliantly skilled at reading body language and assessing for fear and danger. And so I think that's probably what's going on.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. And it's all bigger picture now, something we want all of us to better understand. So you can help us to do that simply by filling out a survey. It'll take, what, 5 minutes or less to fill out. And it's free, as I said. How do folks get that survey, Dr. DePorter?
The survey is available if they send me an email. I have a research dedicated email address, which is Teresa DVM, Theresa DVM at AOL.com. And what I will do is send them a PDF version of this survey. It's 2 pages long. They need to complete it within a week of taking their cat to the veterinarian for a routine veterinary visit, because we want to identify what happens at that routine vaccination, sort of health checkup visit, not necessarily a visit when they're really sick, because that can certainly have an impact on their behavior as well.
Well, right. And also we want to know, interestingly enough, so as I said, when the person makes the appointment, the cat may respond, but also when the cat goes home, the interactions with the other animals in the house, if there are any, and even with the owner may change. We want to better understand what that looks like for the average cat as well. So, again, give us that email.
Teresa, DVM, at AOL.com.
And I will report to you, all of you, what the results of all of this are several months from now. We'll have you back on the radio, and we'll talk about that.
That's great. Thank you very much for helping us help cats.
Well, thank you, Dr. DePorter. It's always good to work with you. Thank you. And again, that email is teresadvm at AOL.com. So here's the thing. Veterinary visits are down for dogs and cats, but cats in particular. A lot of reasons for that, but number one on the list, as we talked about, as I talked about with Dr. DePorter, simply getting them there, getting them inside the carrier. And if you talk to 5 cat owners, they will say, well, the cat's nervous, the cat hates the carrier, the cat doesn't really like it. And there's even data to show that when you make the call to the veterinarian, when you make that call weeks ahead before the visit, the cat gets anxious. What's up with that? How can that be? So we want to understand and help describe and define all this and scale the terminology. And here's what I mean by that. What does it mean? So if I say my cat is worried and then you talk to my wife, or the veterinarian talks to my wife and her response is, my cat is crazy. What did those terms mean? So we want to define these terms. We want to actually put a definition to the anxiety level that cats are at before the veterinary visit. Is it a 5, a 4, a 3, a 2? And what describes that 5 or 4? What's the cat doing? Let's be more specific about it rather than just random terms that we tend to use as pet owners. And Dr. DePorter loved that idea. She thinks, and I do too, that defining this, better scaling these terms, will help all cats and help us as veterinary professionals, help Dr. DePorter to help cats. And that's what we're after. So please, before your next veterinary visit, email Dr. DePorter, Teresa DVM, at AOL.com, and she'll just send you a questionnaire and takes 5 minutes to fill out, not even. It's Teresa with a TH, Teresa DVM at AOL.com, and you can help all cats. I also want to talk about my podcast. Yes, you can hear Steve Dale's Other World. This is completely different. It's not even pet stuff. It is just different. We take you behind the scenes in all sorts of different ways. I mean, also you wouldn't even expect. So one example is I talked to, you ready for this, Lucille Ball's secretary. I knew Lucy, and I'm still in touch with her secretary. And we talk about what Lucille Ball was really like. And were she and Desi, was that really the love of her life? We actually talked about that. You can hear that podcast and others, a wide variety, at WGNplus.com or go to WGNradio.com and then just click on the podcast at WGNplus.